Well, I know Pastor Randy shared with you last Sunday that he challenged Pastor Heather and me to preach from the book of Judges. Typically, Judges, with the exception of, I think, the first several verses in the fourth chapter, are not included in our three-year lectionary. And so he suggested that I preach on Gideon's call, and I said, okay. All right. And typically, people, when they preach on Gideon's call, utilize the passages that follow the passage that I'm about to read. And that's where Gideon basically was testing God with the fleece. But that's not where the Lord led me. And I must say that I awakened yesterday in a cold sweat because I dreamt that I was walking into church this morning and had forgotten to write my sermon. Well, I will share with you that that did not happen, praise God. But what happened is yesterday, the world blew up. And my sermon was written, but I went back to my laptop and I edited it. And then this morning, the Lord edited it again. And so I almost forgot Journey Prayer. But I made it in time. So I ask you all to pray this morning as I deliver this message and pray that it is what God would have me to say this day. Amen. Amen. Listen, hear, and receive the word of God. Coming from the sixth chapter of Judges, the 11th through the 24th verses. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belongs to Joash, the Asbarite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon answered him, "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of Midian." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. I hereby commission you." And Gideon responded, "But sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am least in my family." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them." Then Gideon said to the Lord, "If now I have found favor with you, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. Do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will stay until you return." So Gideon went into his house and prepared a kid and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and the broth he put in a pot and brought them to the Lord under the oak and presented him. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that it was the angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, "Help me, Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Asbarites. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the beauty of this day and for this opportunity to stand before these, your people. Lord God, I pray that you would set Patrice down and that your spirit would stand up within me, that you would allow me to preach with power and authority, not that I would receive any praise, but that you would receive all glory and honor. Lord, now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable unto you, for you are our God, you are our rock, you, Lord God, are our peace. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. It has been often said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Israel's behavior and relationship with God was the epitome of this definition. The scripture passage that Kirk read a little earlier states that the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed over Israel. Now, we don't like to think that God allows trouble and tribulations to enter into our lives as a result of our behavior. Yet, I submit to you this morning that for every action, there is a reaction. And our negative behavior often results in negative results. Our country is in the midst of a negative situation based on the outcome of our most recent presidential election. We are no longer considered a world leader by many other democratic countries. It was recently reported that many of our allies consider our president to be immature, not well-learned, someone to be ridiculed. And we know how he has recently responded to North Korea's behavior, promising fire, fury, and power beyond that which the world has ever seen. Not to mention that many of his followers are now running amok, spewing hatred, bigotry, and violence across the country, and most recently demonstrated in Charlottesville, Virginia. God's chosen people, Israel, had also run amok, chasing after other gods, assimilating and imitating others, and as a result of their covenantal faithlessness towards God, they were living under the oppression of the Midianites, who released their own brand of fury and power on them. The Midianites ravaged and destroyed the Israelites' crops. They stole their cattle and drove them into hiding in the mountains and caves. Crying out to their Lord to save them, the Lord commissioned Gideon to deliver Israel from their oppressor. Now, nothing in life is ever straightforward as we would like to think. Our relationships with people, situations, countries, and yes, even God can change over time. Israel had a complicated relationship with Midian. Moses is described as having a close, positive relationship with the tribe of Midian, yet even marrying a Midianite. Other times, the Midianites were described as Israel's enemy and oppressors. Lawrence Steger, a commentator, suggested that the benign relations between the Midianites and Moses' group reflects the socio-historical situation before 11 BCE, whereas Judges 6 reflects a time when camel riding and raiding Midianites had become arch enemies of the Israelites. The Israelites literally and figuratively oppressed were pushed to the margins. They were hiding in the sides of mountains, crying out to God for relief. And God responded by sending an unnamed prophet to remind them of their history and God's faithfulness towards them over the years, in spite of their faithlessness. It was that same prophet, a messenger from God, who appeared to Gideon while he was hiding, beating wheat in a wine press. Gideon was hiding, hopeful that the grain he was processing would not be discovered and destroyed or stolen by the Midianites. God's messenger addressed Gideon as a mighty warrior, a man of valor, a judge, called to lead God's chosen out of their oppression and to direct them back to the God of their salvation. Mighty warrior, man of valor, a judge. Those are not titles that describes a man in hiding. We expect people operating in those positions and professions to be larger than life, unafraid, persons with big personalities and personas. And yet again, things or people aren't always as they seem or appear. It's often the quiet, unassuming person who is shy and reluctant, who has the strength, character, and faith in God to bring about change, to lead a nation, to release others and themselves from captivity. Those who talk out loud are very often saying nothing. We witness that daily, 140 characters at a time. Brothers and sisters, God uses the foolishness of this world to shame the world, and weak things to shame the strong. Gideon's call is reminiscent of others that God has called, who from ours and their own estimation weren't up to or worthy of that which God had placed before them. Moses and Abraham, called to lead God's people, both initially refused their commissions. Moses because he was unable to communicate clearly, and Abraham because he was too old to father a child. Gideon's hesitation can be summed up with his question to the messenger. If God is with us, why have we encountered all of this oppression? And where are all the wonderful acts that our ancestors spoke of? Why has God given us into the hands of the Midianites? As I watched the news yesterday afternoon and witnessed the unfolding of the violence, the hatred, racism, and bigotry resulting in the loss of 3 lives and many being hurt, many questions were on my heart, and I imagine some of you may have felt and feel the same way. If God is with us, why is racism overwhelmingly overt, unabashedly and unapologetically perpetuated and being exhibited by white nationalists, Nazis, KKK members marching in the streets of Charlottesville, shouting one people, one nation, end immigration, and demanding the return of their country to the white founding fathers who are being defamed, smeared, and torn down? I do quote what was being stated. Where is God when people marching in the name of God are preaching marginalization, nationalism, hatred, and discrimination with tiki torches in their hands by night and in broad daylight carrying Confederate and Nazi flags, terrorizing people who they have deemed as less than themselves without any shame, embarrassment, or recrimination? Are there any Deborahs, Ehuds, and Gideons being called, commissioned to lead us out of this confusion, this modern-day oppression and lawlessness? Unlike the prophet Isaiah, who responded boldly and without hesitation, "Here am I, send me," upon hearing the Lord engaged in a heavenly conversation, asking, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Gideon raises another question and an issue. By what means will I deliver Israel, considering my family is the poorest in Manasseh and I am the youngest in the family? To which God answers, "Go in your own might. I have called you. I am with you." 2 Timothy 1:7 reassures us that God has not given us the spirit of cowardice or fear, but rather a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to stop standing on the sidelines asking questions and to boldly volunteer to stand up for righteousness, for justice, for peace and reconciliation. If not us, then who? And if not now, when? Throughout history, God has issued questionable calls to questionable men and women to lead us into a beloved community. A community, a nation, a world where people are not judged, terrorized, or marginalized, but loved. Period. Questionable calls were answered by Sojourner Truth, by Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass, by Abraham Lincoln and Emmett Till, by Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Questionable calls were answered by Virginia Foster Dewar, a white Southern housewife and political activist who fought against the poll tax and Southern white male dominance. A questionable call was answered by J. Waddy's Waring, a federal judge from South Carolina who opened white primary elections to black people. A questionable call was answered by Ann McCarthy Braden, journalist and community organizer in Louisville, Kentucky, who defied racist real estate practices and the House Un-American Activities Committee and organized white Southerners to support the civil rights movement. A questionable call was answered by a modern-day prophet, the Reverend Dr. William Barber, president of the NAACP and repairers of the breach, as well as the leader of Moral Mondays in North Carolina, who tweeted just hours ago, "Mr. President, you and those who have fostered lies and sown seeds of racism must repent both in terms of talk and policy. You have sown the seeds of hatred and attacked almost everything President Obama did in ways that have deep racial overtones. And we who believe in love and justice for all must, in the most nonviolent ways, continue to pray, protest, and push for a better world." So many others, unnamed and unknown, have answered the call of God to stand up, to lead God's people out of darkness into light, to fight against oppression, bigotry, prejudice, violence, and injustice, to go in their own strength with the reassurance that they are not alone. And when they are faced with opposition, pushed down, and even trampled upon, to stand back up, for I am is with them. I am the one who promised to never leave or forsake us. I am who promised to be with us until the ends of the age. I am who promised to send the Holy Spirit to comfort and keep and empower us. Just as the Apostle Paul was assured that God's grace is sufficient and God's power is made perfect in our weakness, may that be our assurance as well. It is in our weakness that God's perfection is made known. Brothers and sisters, answer God's questionable call today. Stand for that which is right. Speak peace into violent and harmful situations. Exhibit and be the love that transcends anything that would seek to divide us as a people. Gideon and so many others were reluctant judges. Men and women called to free God's people, to defeat the enemy, to lead into lands of promise, to usher in the kingdom of God on earth. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, even Jesus questioned God's call for him to die on the cross praying. And his response was, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Beloved, may God's will be done in each of our lives, in our country, and in this world. However, it will only be done if we, God's people, called by God's name, humble ourselves, pray, seek God's presence, and turn to the only holy, wise, gracious, and merciful God. Turn from our wicked ways, and then we will hear from heaven. Our sins will be forgiven, and our land will be healed. Beloved, that's the answer to all of our questions today. I am is with us, and I am works through us. Answer God's questionable call. Amen.
Amen.